And after that, we are going to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. In your introduction, you're going to tell us about yourself, who you are, where you come from, and your expertise, your qualifications. We're giving you 5 minutes for that. And in that 5 minutes, you can actually market yourself to the community to say, here am I, you know? Recommend that I be the one in that 5 minutes. But in total, you have 45 minutes where we, as the panel, will be asking questions. And it's up to you to use the, how you use the 45 minutes. You can have long drawn responses to one question, but you know that when the 45 minutes is gone, we are done. So as soon as you start with introduction, they press the button, and at the end of 45 minutes, the alarm will just go off, and you know that the time is off. While we are introducing ourselves, it's not on your time, it's on our time. But when you start talking, then the clock will start ticking. I am Olisa Tom, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture.
My name is Thomas Magondo, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thanks. So I can see my name is my
committee.
Can somebody be able to explain
him?
I'm the member of this committee.
Winston Mabutapi, member of the committee. Alan Khrodbo, member of the committee.
Mama Tema Nyamba, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kosana. The ball is in your court.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm Jutas Bangaris Kosana, an interpreter here at the Parliament, and I'm a former teacher. I specialize in English, that is Afrikaans, English, and isiZulu. And I'm a person who's very much dedicated in developing the languages since the beginning of my school career. And during the time I was busy teaching, I realized that communication is very much indispensable, because I realized that most of the time we have unrest and whatever the problem is because of the communication breakdown. Hence, I went to UNISA for language literacy and communication, because I know that if a language is not treated in a correct way, it is very much dangerous. As much as it can be useful if it is treated with great care, because most of the people are taking language as just M plus A, which is equal to M. Language is not like that. Language actually is far much beyond that. A language itself It is a site of school. And then that's why I went for communication. And then thereafter I realized that information is well disseminated through books and the like. Since I went to University of Free State for language practice, and I specialize in document design and text editing, because I'm a writer, as I am. That's why at the moment my literature book is a poetry, it's in grade 5 now. And then I'm having the other one, that is dictionary mathematics, which is for a grade 4 to grade 9. Because I realize that now most of us are talking about learning languages at school, but the problem is we don't want to develop more material for, or maybe we don't have that strategy. So that's why from there I want to talk now. I specialized into human design. And then introduction say I'm also an interpreter, I'm a translator, I'm an editor, and as well as a poet. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Profana. I'm now going to give the panelists an opportunity to ask questions. Honorable Makonda.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, once again.
Good afternoon.
Let's say you are appointed to the board. Apart from the things that you have mentioned, with your managing yourself, what other skills that you may have which you think may be necessary and be of value to the cancer if you are going to be other skills?
Well, yes. The other skills I'm going to bring to cancer is a strategy. What I realize we are sometimes appointed to work with the languages without a strategy. And then only to find out what is in mind, then we must start the project. Now we don't know what to do. Then we say the money is too much, and then we start taking that money. I'm not just saying to say what is it that we can give me the zero. But we say that that money is not enough. Particularly, because we know that it's that process of social cohesion and nation building. I want to tell you first what that now. Social cohesion and nation building needs an education. Education needs books. And books, you cannot have a book without a language. You must have a language. Therefore, we must develop these languages. And again, tell you straightforward that another thing that I'm going to do, I want us to promote our languages and stop being Eurocentric and be Afrocentric. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable, before you ask, give me to Honorable Makosi.
That is Kozan. If you find yourself being appointed to the board of CANSAP, there's a code of good governance that any member of board needs to uphold to. How will we ensure that there is always an ethical leadership and integrity in the board of CANSAP?
Thank you very much. Yes, I understand that if I can be appointed as a member, yeah, I must have said straight forward that normally I am a person who does not believe in curing but in prevention. I know that problem should be there, room should be there. The thing what I'm going to do there, we must first what you talk about, explain the rules and the regulations to all the members of the members of the board. And then I will do what we have done when I was still a teacher. You know what happened? We had a file with the rules inside there, and then the file was so much used of friendly, so that the person must understand that we have a problem of just working with the people not knowing the rules. Tell the people the rules that we are going to do this and this, and if you do this, we got compromise. Such a person must take music. Thank you very much.
An ethical leadership is the thing that you come with.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, with that one, normally what I prefer, what I prefer to do, I must be an exemplar. I must first know what behave so that these people must learn how to behave too. And then we must just try to sort of to be do right things at all the time. See? But then the ones who do a right thing, I'm not doing the right thing. I must be an example.
Thank you.
Honorable
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. All of that was profound. I was not sure you were in the interesting time. Well, maybe you must have to read it. My question to you will be, can you explain your understanding of the mandate of the Pan-African Language Board? As it relates to the Pan-South African Language Board Act of 1995 and the Constitution of the Republic. You know, in simple ways, can you perhaps tell us your answer of the mandate of the board?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, the mandate of the board is to sort of to create a conducive situation so as to what is so called now to give the opportunity the languages to thrive. In other words, now we must just try to promote multilingualism, and then we must make it a point that we provide the necessary resources for interpreting and translation, and then we must also make a point that we see to it that each and every language is given the necessary respect.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you,
Chairperson. Mr. Kwasan, in your introduction, you said you are working here in Parliament as an interpreter. I just want to check with you that did you ever realize that living here in Parliament there is a gap? As far as the using of official languages, the gap which is here or that we're experiencing here in Parliament, I think even different provinces have the same experience. So if you happen to be appointed as the member of the board of Pan-South, knowing the role that there we have 11 official languages in our country. But the 11 official languages are not treated the same. I did make mention of the parliament. When you check on the documents, the parliamentary documents are written in English and Afrikaans. So if you are going to be appointed as one of the board members, how are you going to deal with this challenge to make sure that all the official languages are afforded the same status? Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I do understand this question, and yes, I realize that there are some languages which are still left behind. And then it is up to us as a board to make it a point that now we promote those languages, because the problem with us there are other languages that are left behind. For instance, I can just make an example of Pomo or then Lubeli or such. So in such languages, as a board, we must just make an awareness campaign. In other words, we go to the what is called now talk to NLB, which is National Language Body, National Language Lexicography, as well as PLC, that is a Provincial Language Committee, so that now we we talk with them and then we make an awareness and then we encourage those languages, because sometimes a language is left behind sometimes because of we as the language group of that particular group. We are afraid to talk that language. That's what happened to my language in Ndebele. Normally, when we grow up, we are afraid to talk in Ndebele, particularly when we are jogging and whatever. We thought maybe when we talk in Ndebele, we'll be talking as some people who are not clever or whatever. You see. So as a board member, we must just want to make a campaign, tell the people that each and every language is important. If language is you. Language, in fact, is just a vehicle to transport the culture and the religion. See. Thank you very much.
Can I make follow-up? I just want to check this member Kofanda. Did he ever try maybe doing his spare time to look into those things that if you happen to be appointed, we'll make sure that you won't leave the stone content. You will just give it to your colleagues that each and everyone must have that pride of his mother tongue. Or using this official language we have. Like here, we are talking in English, but we are just talking about amongst others. And there was no reason for that. Like.
Yes, I do understand that. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. But I realize that South Africa is sort of a country with a sort of a religious, linguistic, and cultural diversity, and there were so many in such an extent that it didn't give us a problem to use the policy for all these languages. But really, I'm going to do that. I'm trying to do that because I've already started doing that, encouraging these languages. I remember as a teacher. Sometimes I used to feel ashamed because I'm a black person and I can teach English. But when a fairy teacher is not in, then there's no teacher. I feel ashamed that I can teach English, I can teach African, but I cannot teach African languages. All of us are going to do that. We are going to campaign and make a real Fumazila for a project.
There was a teacher in one of the schools there who taught, a white teacher who taught this course. And there were Xhosa learners, and they only corrected her, that I said, Banjal, and the teacher would be like, okay, it's okay, it's done, okay, you know. So we should really mean that we do need to raise awareness and to encourage, and it needs a lot of encouragement for modern schools to employ teachers who can actually teach this course. Not someone who's going to come to this course. I think this course is with me. So I think it's important that we find ways of doing this. Honorable Rabuka?
In case you are appointed as a board member, you will be expected to bring with you some value that you must obviously add to the committee. So, the value that you bring, how do you expect it to help the committee?
Okay. No, thank you very much for the question, and I prepared this something here as the value that I'm intending to bring. I don't know if it.
Yes.
just a mini strategy. Yes, yes. No, as you are saying, as I'm answering the question, it is what I'm going to bring here, I realize one thing here, we are having ATMs at the moment. And that's why having ATMs, there are some lucky languages that are already there. I saw it is Zulu. It's not there. And then now, what I realized, normally I know it's not legal to look at a person and see whether he's doing so well or whatever. But as a language expert, sometimes I ask these people that do sometimes use this language. What I realize, they say they're afraid sometimes the machine may not understand the or whatever. So they're still using English even now. So what I'm going to encourage, I just want to tell them that look, use this language. You must just use language. That's why I'm having this here, the things that I'm intending to bring here. In other words, here, that's why I talk about the language and technology. In other words, now, we must be, this language must correlate with this technology. Because people are becoming tired to read a book like this now. People are getting tired. They want to read a book like when they see they like me and whatever. So we want books of that nature. That's why we are resident. And then again, if we can use this technology in our languages, those things will prevent things like a fraud. Only to find out now, those old grandmothers who are for South and the like, if they can just, that's the basis of technology, and then he cares and then he just cares that no, your money is in. No one will drop him, but if you give him just a paper written in English, then it's a big problem. Sometimes you must give him 1,000, give him 50 rand, he won't even understand. And then, I talk about language and literacy. That's why I say, in fact, this thing, some of the universities have already started, like the University of KwaZulu-Natal, they've already started teaching even in the African languages. But other languages are still teaching in English and the like. We want to get rid of those two things because we were undecided and want to stop there. We were undecided. That's why we are Eurocentric. These things must be done in our languages now. It must be done in our languages. Therefore, the curriculum must conform to the new style now. And then here I talk about the research and output. In other words, here now, we must allow more research to take place so that now we can now formulate information that will bring along a social cohesion and the like and close the gaps, because we're still having gaps at the moment. We want to close those gaps. Then, this was just a mini strategy. And then if you can see that we'll just try to elevate it and make it even more stronger. And then last one, we talk about the language and globalization. In the case of language and globalization, we are having a problem because sometimes you find that we are having our own stuff here, which is very much expensive, but then it is written in English. When it goes overseas, it's written in English. We want that our product, even if it is overseas, if it is written good cultural, it must be good cultural overseas. Not to say when it arrives overseas, then it's given somebody else. That's what we don't want to like, and then want to see. And then, furthermore, I'll just try to do this thing. I'm just looking if we can try that thing.
There is a follow-up, a lot of what the panel would like to follow up.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Scorsone, as far as I understand, my follow-up question is, did you ever look at the relevance of the value that you are bringing to that institution?
Well, okay.
Because you must also take note of the fact that we have 11 official languages. The intention is not to remove other languages and add other languages, but is to add value to the languages that you find.
Okay, I understand your thought. No, I understand now. What we're talking about is the value I'm going to add when I'm... Yes, I realize that really I'm going to add value. That's how I worry that it's going to be. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm the first person who published a dictionary in mathematics. It's in the name. That is the value of the soul. Because we did not have that thing in the past. And then when I published that dictionary, I dedicated it to Reginald Oliver Tambo as a science and math teacher. I'm still owing him a physical science book. Because we have a problem of saying we want things to be learned in our languages, but the problem, we don't want to develop our languages. And then one other thing, the value I'm going to add again there, I wanted to talk and campaign about this strategy, because what I've realized, that book, which I say is in great effect, it is written by me, and I'm waiting for Parliament. And then, there's no one who's forcing me to write this book. Because I'm waiting, I can just say I'm waiting and not write that book, and then there will be no education at school. So the value, another thing that we must talk, we must have an institution, that is an institution for writers, that you know that we have an institution for writers, and then if you want books, we must go to that institution. We give them time frame that is one book that is such and such a time. Because the education is controlled by the people who are not a permanent at work, just like myself. I write because of it's a hobby for me.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Masana, how big is the language unit in Parliament, if they have one? And then the question comes subsequent to that one is, what is your understanding of the use of indigenous languages in line with the Constitution, Section 6, Subsection 2, in government departments and the necessary parliament? And what do you think is the role of PANFA to ensure that indigenous languages get used also?
Okay, thank you very much. Question number one of the size of languages in Parliament. Speaking up, and I'm here about it, because we have an interpreting unit, we have a translation unit, we have a recording unit. Yes, I mean, too big, but I'm not happy about this, because if I look at Hansard today, seemingly it is the language used there is only English. And then now it tells us that we really don't consider our but when we record it there, is there a answer written in course? It's in the letter, it's better than this. So what do you want? Provinces. They don't even understand how does it work. Because normally it's dealing with English, it's recorded in English. That has what we said to me there. And then in the case of indigenous languages in a department or whatever, indigenous languages are still not given the attention that we need to be given still. Because at the moment, I mean, during holidays, I was at home there. I heard the municipality complaining that they don't have a language unit. So I don't have that power. I don't have that power, but I said that because I'm just a member, it's in the National Language Board, I just took it up. That said, the my municipalities are complaining they don't have language units. You see, such things. And then
I just suppose to establish a language unit in a municipality. Isn't it the duty of the municipality to do that?
Yes, it should be the municipality, but then what I realize is as we are doing now, we are doing a very good work. I'm afraid to say that the board we had before was really not that much. I don't think it was nothing, but it was not making to the extent that we realized that. Because if the board and the municipalities are going to work in solo, then it's going to be a problem. So if I can be then appointed, I'll just try to make the point that we work together, that is NLB, that is National Language Body, TLC, that is Provincial Language Committee, and then together with the municipalities, so that we work this together.
Thank you. Honorable November. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Skosana, mine is a very nice question. It's all about conflict within the organization. If there is conflict, how do we handle it? An organization is sometimes it's the board and then the executive. If there is a conflict between the two, how will you be able to manage the two?
Okay, the board and the executive. Okay. Yes. Normally with that one, really, we experience it quite a lot. You see. Then, if the conflict again, it kind of goes back to the roots again. That goes back to the roots again, because this conflict sometimes is brought by misunderstanding. It's brought by misunderstanding only to find that now the executive is doing the work that is supposed to be done by the board. See? And then you see now, you will find that now it becomes, you don't know who is who, because each and every one must do his own work so that he must be able to account. Because now if somebody is going to do my work, say that particularly in the case of money, then misusing the word is a problem. Or what I can say, let's just have what you talk about now, let's have a document that will define the rules that you go from here, from this angle to this angle, and then I'll go and I'm going to account here, you are going to account here, and we all have a problem.
Thank you.
The South African Constitution
section six. Which talks about our language. Talk about the promotion and development. And often people use promotion at the expense of development, which I think the issue is not the promotion, but development. The Constitution says all languages are equal, but there are languages that are developed, more developed than other languages. Like, it's in the red. It's not developed. You can't even equate it to international or African, because it's not developed. What are you going to do if you return to the appointment to ensure that the languages that are marginalized are developed? You build a vocabulary of these languages, because the problem is, for example, when you want to write your thesis at the university, it is in the they will say that, what are you going to call the rationale, or even thesis in English, and there's no other way, because the language is not developed. So how are you going to ensure that these other languages as well are developed, have got a sufficient vocabulary?
Okay. Thank you very much. For that question, of course, it's a very good question. Yes, in terms of those languages that are not developed, that's what I've said, that with those languages, in fact, we must make the point that when they are funded, let them not be funded like those that are being promoted from different sets of English. It's still underdeveloped. Therefore, if we find it, because the problem I had, I'm also this is a very national language coach. The problem we had in Cinderella, we used to be given money to develop in Cinderella. Only to find that people are busy developing in Cinderella, the money gets used, and then the project stops. So, if we can be a board member, then we will just try to at least find more different languages. But then before we find these languages more money, it is a prerequisite as it was. You must first show us that with a legal lab, what are you doing with it? Then you are telling us that now you need more, because it takes people some money, and then they don't see. So the problem of let's make it more fast. Because that's the problem. The problem is English in Africa is given the same money as it's in the red and as well as it's covered in foreign languages. So that's the challenge.
Development of the language, but you have touched a little bit, not exactly the passion that one would expect on the issue of multilingualism. What is your stance on multilingualism? Why do you think it would be a good thing to practice multilingualism in both the public sector and the private sector? Because currently, as you can know, it's not, especially on the public sector, one must be very straightforward to say we private sector has not done much in that regard in terms of making sure that multilingualism is promoted, prevented, is there. So, what is your stance on the issue of multilingualism?
Thank you very much. Yes, I understand the question. The issue of this multilingualism, yes, of course, it's still a problem, but then what does the try to do now? Particularly, this is a international language body. We are trying now to find out if all these institutions have the language policy. If they have this language policy, and I must tell you the honest thing that the language policy is a law, it's a rule. Therefore, each and every institution must adhere to that. So as a board member, what we are going to do, we will find it, we will just try to find out that each and every institution is adhering to that law. Then if it is not adhering to that law, we'll first talk to that institution in a very calm manner, then thereafter, as long as it takes it free. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions on the program? There in man. Thank you very much, Mr. Kosano, for availing yourself. First of all, for accepting the nomination, because you were not forced to do that. And out of your will, you accepted the nomination. And you availed yourself. That is highly appreciated by the members of the committee. What is going to happen now is we're going to collect this information and submit it to the department, to the minister of the Department of Arts and Culture, and he's the one who appoints the board. So we will just give him the information, the results of the interview, and recommend, and he is the one who's going to come back to you, not that the parent. So we thank you very much. We appreciate your presence. You are excused.